Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure, coming to you today from Waikiki Beach, right above the altar at St. Augustine's Catholic Church. And looking out my window, I see perfect corduroy to the horizon, head high surf. The last two or three days we had what they call surf warning, high surf advisory warning levels, where it's double overhead and bigger. My son Jeremiah just moved back to Hawaii. He works with FEMA, and he has a permanent place here now. So he's been quarantined for a couple weeks. This is in the middle of the summer that we're recording this, and now he and I got to go out and do some real cool surfing with my wife Cindy. So we're glad to be coming to you from Waikiki Beach. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Zoop up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. And if you're a Catholic, if you're a Christian, your life is meant to be a life of adventure. If you're not having an adventurous life, then you know why we call people who wear all the surf clothes but never paddle out on big days, we call them posers. If you're a Christian and you're not living a life of boldness, you're sitting on the couch, you're a poser. God has something bold for you to do. That's why he gave you the virtue of prudence, so it could guide your boldness. But if you're a Christian, God wants you to be his witness. Does he want you to be his theologian? No. He wants you to be a witness. Anybody can be a witness. I remember when someone told my dad that when he had first had that deep conversion experience, God wants you to be a witness. He goes, do I have to watch car accidents or something? Or what is God calling me to do? Anybody can be a witness. And so God is calling you to do that. And you know, one of the things as men, God is calling us to wear the full armor of God. There's a really cool, Warren Carroll wrote a series of five, or I think of six volumes on the whole history of the world from basically from just before Christ all the way through today. And he talks about this one man in Spain, this great general in Spain, and I can't remember his name, but he had all kinds of, he wore his full armor, but he had cuts and scars and wounds, but only on his front side. He didn't have any wounds on his back because he was always on the attack. And if you look at the armor of God is like the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, being shod with the gospel. It doesn't talk about anything protecting your back. God wants you to be on the move, stepping into the breach, standing your ground, taking new ground for the kingdom of God. And we have a man with us today who in his office, if you're watching this on our YouTube video, he has a small statue of a man wearing armor. And then there's a big actual full set of armor to the other side of him. He's Father Rick Heilman, and he's the author of the book, the Church Militant Field Manual. It's the special forces training for the life in Christ. We've got a man's man with us today. We got Father Rick with us. coming to us from just outside Madison, Wisconsin, is Church of St. Mary of Pine Bluffs. Aloha, Father Rick.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Bear.
So great. I got to have that conversation with you and Doug Berry, and yeah. I thought, oh, man, I love this guy. I just can't believe it took so long for us to actually meet.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you get on the circuit sometimes, and being a parish priest, it's hard for me to get out and around and meet all you guys, but it's been a great pleasure, and it was so fun being with you on that podcast.
Isn't it amazing? I was talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the other day, and I was thinking about him. How did he get to be where he is? He's just, he was a police officer, but before I could say something, he goes, Bear, how did you get to be where you are? You know, and I have that same thought about you. How did you? Just to look at you, and you look like a big, brawny football player. It turns out that you actually were. Can you tell us about how you got from to this place? Your early days, your football days, and then how your conversion and your call to the priesthood. Let's start out there.
Yeah. So on my email address, I actually have the number 64. So that's Jerry Kramer's number. Now, a lot of people have to know the 1960s Green Bay Packers and Vince Lombardi. To know who that is, but I took his jersey number, and I always wanted to be a Green Bay Packer, and I worked hard. In fact, I made All-State in high school, and off I went to college.
You skipped something. What's I want to talk about that.
What?
Making All-State in college.
Or high school.
In high school. I mean, being All-State in high school, what position did you play?
Okay.
Talk story about that.
Well, I can tell you one of my fun stories. I was a guard, so was Jerry Kramer, but I was fast for my size, okay? And back then, they didn't give big guys the ball. Otherwise, I would have loved to have been, like a fullback or something.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I did, my very good friend was Pat Gentile, and he was our running back. And one day, we were about to play the public school for the first time. And they scheduled us on their homecoming, right?
Ooh.
And because we were the Catholic school, an easy win, so they could get a nice homecoming win, right? So I was told all week leading up to that game that I was going to go up against a guy who made All-State in his junior year as a defensive tackle. So I'm preparing myself for that. So the first play from scrimmage, I pancaked the guy, okay? And I had him. And after a few plays that we got, there was a timeout or whatever, and I got off the field and I told the coach, I said, run Pat off me. And it turned out that he did. And Pat got 168 yards that game, and we beat the big public high school on their homecoming. And both Pat and I were MVP of that game. But
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the offensive linemen are kind of like the sound guy, when you're doing a speech. Who cares about him until something goes wrong, right? Usually you don't get the credit. I've never heard of a guard getting MVP before.
It was rare. It really was. But I think the coach appreciated that I told him, how it was going in the front line and to run Pat off me. And so he said that I shared in Pat's 168 yards that he had that game.
I remember high school football. I was a fullback and played California, Texas, all different types of football. But I remember my dad told me, grab that shirt of that guard or that tackle.
Exactly.
And let them pull you right through the middle.
Yeah.
And then if they get stopped, run right over the top of their back and keep going. Yeah.
Yep. It was like a freight train going down the field.
No finesse, right? Just freight train.
And guard too, you can pull. And so I was able to pull out and get ahead of Pat, and we were that freight train going down the field.
That's too fancy. Why would they make a guard pull? I remember the first time I saw that play and I go, those guys can't do that. And, so thankful they could actually move somewhat laterally too.
Yeah. I think I ran a 4.940 back
then. Holy cow.
So, yeah. Right.
Wow.
And I was at the time I was 6'3", about 220.
Wow.
I ran a 4.940, but I would have loved to carry the ball, but it was, they never thought back then of giving a big guy the ball.
Well, maybe they saw you had only thumbs too.
Exactly.
Yeah, no Dexter. Hey, so, but don't you think that the football experience, for me anyway, it was a real rite of passage for me. It brought me into the brotherhood of, what do you think about that?
I've never served in the military, but I love the military and I love law enforcement and first responders. And why? Because they do go out in front, and they discipline themselves, and and they do that, all that training for a higher calling. And I just felt like my football background gave me a taste of that, at least.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so I think that's where I get kind of my military themes going on, because first, I just love the military. I just love them. I'm like a fangirl around anybody in the military.
Yeah.
And so I think I got that basically from, being on the gridiron and all that. So.
Me too. I mean, there's that brotherhood.
Yep.
And you're going
to obey the coach, the plays,
Oh, yeah.
You got to run the play just exactly. And sir, yes, sir. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of those guys when I was a year younger than the other guys on my team. And, I started out school a little bit early. But I was always the guy that was standing next to the coach saying, send me in. I just keep bugging him until he'd let me play. But I know so much about playing beyond yourself. Yeah. Even beyond your skill level, just by working hard.
Working hard.
But we had the privilege. I'm looking at it right now before you and I talked. I'm editing episode 19. It's the third episode of season 3 of Long Ride Home. And in my heart, Father, when we started to film season 3, the Lord said, first responders and military. And yep. I know we had a couple military guys riding with us, but I didn't know how that would happen. And early one morning when we were in Asheville, North Carolina, Jerry Cohn and I get up about 5 in the morning. We have really bad coffee. And I kind of write the script for the day, kind of like, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? And what do we need to be aware of? And what theme are you giving us? And I got this message on Facebook, which I never have time to read, but it somehow popped up on my phone. And they said, my husband and I love to listen to your radio show. His name is Captain Stoney. He's a captain in the Asheville Police Force. So is there any chance we could, say hi to you guys, stop by the hotel and go, we're having mass at the river in about an hour and a half. Do you think Captain Stoney could meet us there? And so we're down there and we're these bad bikers, we think we're so tough and so cool. And all of a sudden we hear the roar of Harleys. And it's like 8 motorcycle cops coming down to the park. They all line up their bikes. They park them so perfect. And when they get off, they reach to make sure their gun's holstered, and they take their leg across, and they all get off at the same time. And I'm like, oh, okay, these guys are cool.
So,
we love our first responders and our military. We're talking with Father Rick Heilman. He's the pastor of, I got to put my glasses on, St. Mary of Pine Bluff, Wisconsin, just outside Madison. And I love the book that's on your shelf. It's called The Field Manual. It's the Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. Father Rick, if people want to listen to you and Doug Berry's podcast, what is that called? That's called Grace Force, isn't it?
Grace Force Podcast.
And they can find it on any?
Yeah, you can just go on YouTube and just type in Grace Force Podcast and you'll find them all.
Yeah, it's a great show. This is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to encourage you to, hey man, go to our YouTube too while you're subscribing to Grace Force. Go to the Bear Wozniak channel and subscribe to Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel on YouTube, because then you get to see what Father Rick looks like, and you'll be notified every time we premiere a new show. We'll be right back with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak. Or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite the men in our audience to go to deepadventure.com and sign up for Bear's Man Cave. It's a secret Facebook group, but please don't go to Facebook and try to join, because you can't join there. You got to go to our website, and you will find yourself in the company of real men. That means we're not perfect. We're the cave of Adullam. We're the cave where King David hid from King Saul when he was on the run. And God began to gather to King David misfits, men who owed money, men who were running from the law. And God formed those men into a mighty band of warriors. They became King David's valiant men. And that's what we're doing with each other. We're not perfect, but we're challenging, equipping, and mobilizing each other to move on in the work and the will that God has for us. So, and we do Zoom video chat meetings about every 2 or 3 weeks whenever we feel like it, random times and dates. But go to deepadventure.com and, man, join the man cave. We're talking with Father Rick Heilman. He's the pastor of St. Mary of Pine Bluff. He's one of the, he and Doug Barry have this great podcast called Grace Force, and he's written a really cool book. We have it available on our website at deepadventure.com, the Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. Father Rick, we started talking about how your faith in the Lord grew, and we just got sidetracked immediately right into football. But you went to a Catholic high school, it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah, and then I was off to college, like I said, and in the summer practices, well, there's a quick story to that too. There was a guy there that was a defensive end, and he was built like a Greek god, and all the pro scouts were looking at him, and I'm a freshman, he's a senior, and we had what's called hamburger drills, that's what we called it, but it's just a single file line facing each other. Where the guy in front of the line, and we get down to 3-point stance, and then the coach blows the whistle, and you just hit each other. That's what they call it, hamburger, because you like a hamburger. And it's just to give the coach an idea of, you know, who can move
who. We used to call that the cage. We would be in a cage. Like, we couldn't stand up. You're like, and whoever won those, when he first started the season, that was whoever won that battle, you were going to be the starter.
Well, and that's what happened is, I ended up being up against this guy, and I beat him. And my line was longer, you know, because we kept rifling through. And he got up to the front, and the coach goes, "Heilman, get up here." So he wanted to give this guy a chance to redeem himself because a little freshman.
Right.
So the coach blows the whistle. I beat him again.
How did you do it? Did you come in low, or how is it that you?
I was a torpedo. You know, I probably have a bad memory now because I led with the tip of my helmet.
That explains a lot of other things,
too.
There
was a lot of technique that you use. You know, you kind of helmet to shoulder and all this stuff. But
anyways, it's like sumo wrestling with a helmet.
Yeah. So third time it happened where I was in back line, coaches, Heilman, get up here. And this guy's across from me going,
like, know, a freight train again.
In front of the pro scouts. And so the coach blew the whistle and he broke my neck. He hit me so hard. Ooh. So, and I didn't know it at the time. It was a crack. And so I couldn't move my head for a day. And coach finally says, I think you ought to go let the doctor see that. And so the doctor x-rays and I got a crack. And the doctor tells me that's a soft spot now. And if you get hit again the same way, you could be quadriplegic.
Your career's over, in other words.
So that was the end of my career there. And I made first string that week, by the way. I went from third string
as a freshman. But how do you deal with that as a young man? Was God there with you, or what happened?
You know, I was raised in a pretty strong Catholic family, and by strong, we weren't great prayers all the time kind of Catholics. We were servants, okay? So whatever the pastor needed, we did it. And all of my brothers and sisters to this day are going to church and are active and involved in their parishes. And I try to tell people that don't just punch the clock on Sunday and be done with it. You got that's your family, okay? And we lived at the parish. So that's the kind of Catholicism grew up in. And of course it just got crazy and silly and effeminate during that time. You know, that was late 70s, you know, early 80s, and I do remember though, before all the silliness entered in, I always remember my mom in the pew, and she always had her hands full with her rosary wrapped around it. And when we went to mass, it was like you're at adoration, okay? So lots of silences,
yes,
but tons of awe and wonder, you know?
Amen.
And then and a beautiful four-part harmony choir singing, you know, Ave Maria and all this stuff. Mm. And then all of a sudden, like overnight. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, you know.
Oh, yeah. Folk mass.
Yeah. And so it became casual. So did our kind of our prayer life became casual and all that stuff. So we kind of got caught up in all that. But we still saw that as our home, our family. We served, and it was all good that way. So that's all my long-winded way of saying that by the time I was at that age in high school, God was there, but he wasn't a big deal in my life too much. But it was later that, and this is how I remember it. My godfather is a priest. He just passed away last year. Mm. And so I always admired him. You know, he just devoted his life. He was a funny guy too. But I don't think so. No. So that was kind of like, but I hit a period at, it was just before my 23rd birthday, because I always tell people, you've got kids that are rough around the edges or getting led by the world. I said, wait till their 23rd birthday, because that seems to be a make or break time. You know, you're
getting past my 23rd college, birthday, I had a baby.
Yeah. And so it was for me. I spent a lot of time by myself. We did a lot of partying like everybody else did back then. You know, we were like young people. But I pulled away and spent a lot of time by myself. And that's where I really fell in love with God.
How interesting. All over again. What do you mean you... Now this is very interesting. I know for me too, when I was in high school, I really didn't party. I stopped getting invited to parties because people knew I wasn't going to party. But I was focused because I had this call to be a father. And I just was focused on that. And I would spend time. Guitar was a good friend to me. Spent a lot of time just with my guitar. What do you mean you pulled away? During that time, was there just time of solitude, or did you begin to see God? Or
I think I had great models around me, people who were wise, people who were deep, and that impressed me. And I saw, instead of the superficial party thing, just didn't appeal to me either. I mean, I invested myself in it pretty much in college. But
I think you'd be fun, but at some point. There's something more than that.
Yeah. So anyways, all of a sudden, my 23rd birthday comes, and falling off the horse. Oh. I got to become a priest. I have to become a priest.
You just knew.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it just was.
That fast. I never talked to my parents ever, to anybody about it. And I had my basement in my bedroom in the basement of my parish. I literally emerged from my parents' basement and said, I want to become a priest. And they're like, oh. And then it was, I have not regretted 1 minute of seminary, 1 minute of priesthood, 1 minute, 1 second. I love being a priest. But that's how the call came to me. It was like a shot.
And you knew.
I absolutely knew. And here's the interesting thing. I made this connection a couple of years ago that my 23rd birthday, I was born on the birthday of John the Baptist, June 24th.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. But my 23rd birthday was June 24th, 1981. So if anybody is kind of connected with Medjugorje, that's the day she started appearing.
Oh, praise God.
I mean, I have a deep love, and I promote the Blessed Mother, and I invented a rosary that, you know, it's been awesome, but that's kind of how it happened to me. I had my neck broken, kind of floundered for a while trying to figure things out, and then just God kind of just grabbed me and said, we're going to talk for a while, you know. And I had a lot of silence over, I don't know what it was, a month or several months, I can't remember, but a lot of silence, a lot of contemplation, and then boom, you're going to become a priest. Okay.
That's really interesting. It was almost like you think of Elijah in the cave. You have a very Elijah type spirit too, by the way, like John the Baptist did. But, you know, he was hiding out in that cave, and then God said, I got a job for you.
Exactly.
Go out and anoint a king. Praise God.
Yes, sir. You know?
I can remember, though, too, Father, that when I received a calling to be a father, it was just as real as could be. I was sitting in a social studies class, and suddenly it was this epiphany. You could bring an eternal being into existence. And from that moment, it was like the whole cosmic universe opened up to me. And from that moment, I was like, everything about being, you know, studying, preparing, working three jobs to go to college so I could be married, so I could provide for my kids. You know, it was just like one day I ever had a thought about anything. The next day, that was it. We're talking with Father Rick Heilman. We love his book, The Church Militant Field Manual. Let me see. The Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. And his podcast, I was fortunate enough to be with him with Doug Berry. What a blast that was.
That was awesome.
On their Grace Force podcast, which you can find on YouTube or probably any podcast channel. We're going to be back with more Father Rick. We're going to talk a little bit more about the armor of God. We're going to talk about this whole concept of special forces training as a man of God. You could go to our website, deepadventure.com. If you subscribe to our email, which if you haven't, that's crazy, you should. You get a free version of free audio book. So like me, I listen to a lot of books on audio. You get the free audio book of my most recent book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. So go to our website, deepadventure.com. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You know why I have the best radio show in the history of the universe? Because I have guests like Father Rick Heilman with me. How can you look bad when you got when you have such a great guest? Of course, he does make me look bad because he's so handsome. If you just look at it, watch on YouTube,
you would know.
Father Rick, it's so cool being with you in your office, because I see the statue of Mary behind you. I see several monstrance behind you. I see crucifix. I see your book, The Field.
Those are reliquaries. I got
reliquaries. The tall one
is a relic of the True Cross that was rescued on D-Day and during the D-Day invasion.
Wow.
It's very cool.
Oh my God. And the other three?
I got Maximilian Kolbe, which is really hard to get. Yeah, they found some hairs because he was incinerated, you know, and they found some hairs. So it's super rare. My friend, Father Carlos Martins, who he's like the leading expert in the world on relics and goes around touring with relics. I told him Maximilian Kolbe. He says, "No, friend, that's hard to get. Yeah, you can't get it." All of a sudden, my doorbell rings one day, and he's handing me off a relic. And then I've got Louis de Montfort back there.
No way.
Yeah, and I got St. John Vianney back there.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, people who don't understand Catholics and our love for these types of relics, is we believe in the resurrection of the body. That's why.
Right.
We believe that... Not only if we die do we and we are judged and we go to heaven, but someday we'll have a resurrected body. That's what we participate in every day when we have Mass. But Father Rick, let me ask you about the armor you have. Just to the side, you have like a full body armor, or what would you call like the knight's armor? Yeah. Talk to us about the armor of God.
Well,
where did you get those?
Well, a good friend of mine, he actually rents out warehouses, and he's a very, very good friend of mine. And somebody just who left that behind. And, you know, so it was going to go in the trash, or it was going to come to me, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
So, and he knows, too, that, listen, on my funeral card, I want Ephesians 6:10-12, okay? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil, for we're not fighting flesh and blood here. We're fighting dark forces in the supernatural realm. And I didn't read that just now. I haven't memorized. But wow. That leads everything that I teach, the way I live, the way I try to lead the Grace Force, everything. And why? Because... it talks about the armor of God. Well, that's the state of grace, okay? Mm. And that's you know, we've been at war with the devil, and what has he tried to do first? He's tried to strip us of our armor, okay, and take away our supernatural weapons and leave us naked on the battlefield. That was his first move. And how did he do that?
Wow. You know,
we, we talk about the last 50 years. I always want to say, everybody watched my podcast, heard me say it a million times, but it bears repeating, that when I was being formed in seminary in the 80s, we were not offered 1 minute of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament for adoration. Huh. Not once. And I watched at least two, if not three guys, asked to leave the seminary because they discovered a Blessed Mother statue in their room. They were considered fanatical then if they had a devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Really?
Yeah. So this is what the devil did. We stripped out our churches. You remember what I talked about, my family, you know, this sense of adoration at Mass, right?
Yeah.
Turned into this fun little, you know, whimsical thing. All the ways in which we were helped to open ourselves up to the supernatural power of God were taken away from us.
You know, there's a church that my sons like to watch on Sunday morning sometimes. I forget what it's called, but they have it's just very entertaining, you know, during this time of the COVID thing. It's a very entertaining church. I think it's in North Carolina. And the children are all handed out iPads, and they have their own little church thing on their iPad, and the music is fantastic, and the speakers are great and very inspirational and very definitely draw you into a deeper walk with Jesus. But what's missing is the sacred. Keith Nestor, who was a Methodist pastor, one of the biggest churches in his city, became a Catholic convert. And I said, well, what's the biggest difference? He said, well, in his church, it's very noisy.
Right.
He walked in the Catholic church. It's totally quiet before Mass.
Right.
There's such a sacredness.
Yeah.
The Eucharist.
I was telling you before we started that I have this beautiful church here, and it's preserved since 1888. It's hardly been touched. The things they moved out, like the communion rails, I put them back in. I saw old photos and I tried to replicate them.
Oh.
But it looks like it did in 1888. Well, this was built by tenant farmers, okay? They didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they felt this was altogether important to do this, okay? And why? Because opposed to the kind of the narrative we've heard in the last 50 years, which would say, you know, we have to be like the world and you know, so that people feel comfortable. No, when you go to Mass, you should like be jettisoned out of the world and up to the throne room of God for an hour. You should be in heaven, okay? And that's what and they knew that. These tenant farmers in 1888 knew
Praise
this.
Praise God. Praise
we all
God.
We used to know that too.
We're learning that. We're learning that.
We're relearning
Father,
it.
Father, you
exactly.
know what? Let me now. You know, I'm not one to say, well, you know, I'm just very careful. I'm like you are. I love the magisterium of the church, but I love the fact that we can have Latin Mass now. But one of the things that was very striking to me when I was in Jerusalem, and I went into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and not only were we in that big church, but we were given special permission to go into that little church that I think Constantine's wife had built. I'm not sure if that's quite right, but that little church that is over the tomb of Jesus. You know, it's not the one the Protestants go to. This is the one the Catholics go to, the tomb of Jesus. 50 of us crowded in shoulder to shoulder to get into this little church. And then there's a hole you can crawl into to go into the actual tomb. I'm sure you've been there.
Yes,
and for me to see Father Don Calloway and another priest and the deacon in there, they were facing sideways from us, but they were facing the wall. They were facing a crucifix in the wall. I believe there was a crucifix there. I miss, I'm not being rebellious or suggesting any major change or anything like that. I'm just saying, I miss that feeling of the priest facing away from the...
Facing God
and God the Father and offering Jesus and us up. I'm not proposing anything here. But I'm just saying, I just remember how sacred that was. That he wasn't speaking to us. He was speaking to God the Father, the sacredness of the Mass. So contracultural.
Yeah, and I don't know if people watch my my Masses because I have them live streamed, but I offer that way. I offer the new Mass, the Novus Ordo, Ad Orientem, or toward the east, technically, but toward God. Because east means, you know, where the Son of Man will rise, right, from the east.
Uh-huh.
But it's toward the tabernacle, right? When I pray the prayers to God, I face God. When I pray the prayers, you know, just being the Lord be with you to the people, I turn and I face the people.
And that's okay to do?
Yep.
I wish priests would consider doing that. That when the priest turns and faces God the Father, it's like, I feel that's like the jet taking off, you know, into heaven, that connection with heaven.
I know some priests have a rough time of being able to do it because the bishop, and that's just his calculation. I don't want to slam bishops at all. I think they're awesome. But they calculate that it's divisive is what they say.
I see.
And it can be a little bit because some people were, you know, we don't want to go back and pre-Vatican II.
Yeah. I went through
that a lot. And I had a handful of people that left. And then all of a sudden, I had an ocean of young families that started coming in.
Really?
We are jam-packed with, when I first came to this parish, the average age was 70 years old and all their kids weren't going to Mass. Now the average age is 30 to 35 years old.
That's amazing.
They're having tons of kids because they want to go to heaven on Sunday.
And they're receiving, and you know, the thing is, I found churches that are thriving the most are the ones that are truest to the magisterium, to the catechism. I like it when you're listening to the homily isn't telling you about being nice, but actually saying, let's talk about, we could go a little bit deeper into the catechism, into the moral and doctrinal teaching, and not just be nice and spend time with Jesus and be nice. I want meat, and the churches that do that are growing.
Exactly. Bishop Morlino, God rest his soul, passed away.
Oh, loved him. Loved him.
Yeah. He passed away around Thanksgiving. Your last Thanksgiving. But anyways, he always said this over and over. He would say the truth.
Yes.
With love.
Yes.
With love.
Yes.
But the truth, and then he'd come back with, but the truth.
Yes.
Yes. And so the truth can sometimes sting because it doesn't fit into the world's narrative and the world's agenda. And so I remember going to some parishes fresh, and I would just list out some of the challenges in the culture today, and I'd hit the word abortion, and I'd watch as groups of people would make these showy exits, you know, because how dare I mention the word abortion?
Don't talk about pornography either. Hey, we got to take a quick break here, Father Rick. This is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty when we get back with Father Rick Heilman. I love his book, The Church Militant, a field manual, special forces training for the life in Christ. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Hey, Mama Bears, We want you to come to our website, deepadventure.com. God really spoke clearly to us. It's kind of cool when you kind of know what the next thing in is God is telling you to do. We had kind of a meeting with the ministry, and one of the advisors said, well, you need to reach out to the mama bears. And I'm going like, you mean like Goldilocks's mom? I just could, you know, I mean, Goldilocks and the three bears, that kind of a thing. And I didn't really relate to it. The next day, my son walks in and goes, hey, Dad, remember when we had a cabin in Montana? Remember how fierce the mama bears were? How you had to be really careful around the grizzlies and don't come step between the mama bear and her cubs? And, you know, my dad actually made that mistake once. He had a cabin up there, too. He stepped into the clearing in the middle of the deep woods, and he saw a big old log, and then the log moved, and it was a mama bear. And the mama bear stands up on its hind legs, and she goes, and she starts snapping her jaws. And he looks off to the right, and there's two cubs. My dad, who's 6'4", got as small as he could, didn't make any eye contact, and slowly backed away. Mama bears, we need you to join with us at Deep Adventure Ministries. There's a special page for you there called the Mama Bears page. Join with us, because we know you're the ones that want to protect the cubs. And when I say cubs, I don't mean just little babies either. I mean, you have a special access to the men that we're trying to reach. So go to our website, join the Mama Bears, and we will equip you with things that you can share with them every week that you can kind of nudge your men. I know it was my mother that nudged me to go to a Catholic Charismatic prayer meeting. She said, if you go, I'll buy you a pair of blue jeans, and there's a couple cute girls there. And she nudged me, and I went, and my whole life was radically changed because of my mama bear, Maurice Wozniak. She's in heaven now. So mama bears, go to thedeepadventure.com. You are part of our ministry. You're a huge part of it. We know your prayers mean so much to us. We have Father Rick Heilman with us. We're talking about what it means. We've been talking about the sacredness of the Mass, but I want to ask you, Father, what is special forces training for the life in Christ, the subtitle of your book, The Church Militant Field Manual?
Yeah, so I was inspired to write a book. I thought, I'm not going to never write
a book. I love the cover, man. It's just the coolest cover. So military looking.
Yeah, and that's what I was appealing to, too, is that, listen, the devil's eating our lunch, and I've had it, you know? So we need to rise up. We need to get strong. This is a theme I've been actually using a lot in the last few weeks. Get strong. You know, we've been weak, and the devil feels like it's his time right now. I think of the Battle of Lepanto, right?
Yes.
Where Christianity was so weakened back in 1571, and the enemy said, okay, this is our time. We're going to deal the last blow, right?
Yeah,
and then of course, Pope Pius V gets Don Juan of Austria. And what does he do? He collects the remnant armies, right? And compiles a force to be reckoned with.
To fight against basically the Muslim incursion.
Yep. And they were still outnumbered, but Pope Pius V asked the world to pray the rosary. They put Our Lady of Guadalupe on the stern of the ship. And they won, because a lot of stuff happened.
But the winds changed.
The winds came changing.
Suddenly out of a direction that we'd least to suspect.
Yep.
And,
And
the Pope knew at the moment when he was saying Mass, he knew at that moment that they had won, even though he was hundreds of miles away.
That's right. Yep. And so it's like that. We're very weak right now. We've become worldly. Like I say, we've gone through an unfortunate period where we've diminished or even become embarrassed by the idea of the power of the supernatural. You mentioned charismatic. I used to be involved in that very much, and they're doing a lot to help us to believe once again in the supernatural power of God. You know, the reading this morning was the storm that came up.
Yes.
You know, yeah, and Jesus is just asleep in the boat, and they wake, hey Lord, wait, we're gonna perish. You know, why aren't you gonna? And that's what I feel like everybody's doing right now. Why aren't you doing anything? We're, you know, look what's going on in the world right now. And then what does he say? You have little faith, you know? But then what does he do? He calms the sea. That's what we need right now, is we need to call upon Christ, but believe. Okay, this is the key to it, is that there's a story of a dad that brings his child to Jesus. And he kind of timidly goes to Jesus, well, if maybe you might want to, Jesus basically says, if, you know, hey, it's almost like you say, brother, get your faith up here, okay? If you believe, this will happen, okay? And he says that to everybody that he heals. You know, I can do this. And then after he heals him, he says, it's because of your faith that this is done.
Amen.
We need to get strong. We need to get strong. But what does that mean? That doesn't mean go around beating everybody up. It means we get strong in the belief in the supernatural power of God, and we move out with that. Okay. I'm going in. All right.
Right. Well, you see something you talked about earlier, stand. When they went to Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, I believe it was Luke today, to awaken him, he stood up.
Exactly.
In a rocky little boat, he exactly. stood. Men need to stand.
Stand.
In Hawaii, the symbol for a man is a palm tree. We might blow right. in the wind a little bit, then we might feel the effects, but we stand. We don't get toppled like other trees do. Stand your ground. Step into the breach. Stand your ground. Take new ground. Father Rick, I was with at the Napa meeting in October right after the scandal broke a couple years ago, and Cardinal Mueller was there.
Nice.
And the next morning at the Mayflower Hotel, he's about to go say mass someplace, and then we're going to have a meeting. And I see him down there, and he's wearing his cardinal hat, you know, standing in the lobby of the Mayflower, this classic hotel, and he's standing with his hands to his side. Like he had a Bible or something in his hand, maybe his missal. Just standing and looking straight ahead. And, you know, he's big. He's like you. He would have been a great tackle, football tackle. And I see him, and I go down the stairway, and I go, and I just stand next to him. Because at that moment, for nice. Him just to stand like that, with everybody in that room hating him, because of what had just happened in the church and seeing him wear the cardinal's hat, he just stood. And it's time for men to stand up. And if you know, in conversation at the coffee table at work or at work or when you're working with doing contract work, contractors work or whatever, people talk about pornography. They talk about women in the wrong way. They talk about social justice issues. Stand your ground. It's time to stand up like Jesus did in that boat.
Right. Yeah, and I tell men, you know, this isn't rocket science. You don't have to be a theologian to understand it. A seven-year-old can comprehend this, that you need to be in a state of grace. And so get to confession and get to confession often. I was telling people recently that I stopped doing communal penance services, not because it was nice to have everybody get together for that and have a bunch of priests and all that stuff, but it conditioned people to start to go only once or twice a year. So instead, I built a confessional in the front door of my rectory. You know, I'm actually surprised they don't have an entire. Yeah. So why? Because we need to be in a state of grace. We need to be in a state of grace. And the whole idea of receiving communion when you're not in a state of grace, I mean, that's a desecration of the. And I'm a lot of priests I've talked to wonder if that's why we haven't been social distanced from our Lord, because of the widespread desecration of the Holy Eucharist in that way in particular. So we need to come to our Lord, but you go to confession so you can come to the Lord. You know, I love the story of the prodigal son. He comes home, you know, and his dad throws his arms around him and he says, I don't even want to talk about your past. You're home, and that's all that matters. That's what happens in confession. But we want to be home, right? We don't want to be out doing our own thing, being our own God, okay?
Right.
Making up our own religion. And that's the other thing I tell guys, too, is that believe in divine revelations, that sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Believe what the Bible and the church teaches, you know, and don't have a problem with any of it. Don't do the cafeteria Catholic thing. Don't make up your own religion, and you like some and you don't like others. You got to believe it all. So you believe and you confess and you receive, okay? That a seven-year-old can understand this. Now you're in the state of grace. Now God can take you to all kinds of places. He's an avid Bible reader and a great missionary or whatever he's got planned for you, or a priest, you know, who was a football player, you know, but do those things. Do those things. And then lastly, keep Our Lady close to you. Mm. Jesus's mom. He loves her dearly, and he'll do anything. He can't deny her anything. So she's your best defensive attorney you could possibly have. Okay.
I know, Father. I know, Father. For me, I think it was Doug Barry. The first time I heard Doug Barry speak about Padre Pio, the weapon.
Yeah.
And I go, oh. And this is as I was returning to the Catholic Church about 10 years ago. And from that point, although there are times like I was going through a kind of a medical procedure the other day and it was very painful and I sought Mary's consoling love. It was all of a sudden just there. But mostly when I pray the rosary, Mary and I are going to war. We're going into battle.
Exactly.
And man, things happen. We're talking.
He crushes the head of the serpent.
Amen. We're talking.
And it mocks the devil too, because, you know, he's an angel and she's not, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about in my morning catechism today. I said the exact same things. There's this little handmaiden just crushes him. We in our long ride home, this episode we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, the next week, is when we rode the tail of the dragon. We're going to be talking about that. That's in Nashville, North Carolina. We're already out of time, Father Rick. Father Rick Heilman, his podcast with Doug Berry is Grace Force. You can find it on YouTube and all the podcast apps. And his book, we love so much, the Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. Where can they find you? Do you have a website, Father?
Yeah, so my family actually,
we're running out of time. You got to make it fast.
I got the combat rosary, but
that's
my family,
right.
Roman Catholic gear.
Yeah.
Roman Catholic gear. I designed this after the World War One rosary.
Roman Catholic gear.
Gear.com, yeah.
We got to run. We're already way over time.
All right.
Father Rick, thanks for joining us. Until next time, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.